Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 339, recorded on August 26th, 2017. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little sad.
I'm a little worried. We don't know where Jeff is.
He just didn't show up.
This is a first for the show, I think.
He's a professional.
He is a professional. Usually you give me this kind of
crap. That's why it's worrisome, because it's not like him.
Well, hopefully he's just like
hopefully he's okay. Anybody he's related to or his friends or family are okay.
Well, don't make it sound crazy. He's probably just asleep or something. he probably just took a good nap.
Let's just hope it's that.
Yeah. Okay. So, man, there's a lot of stuff going on this week. First, Bloomberg has stated that Apple is going to be debuting an Apple TV with 4K HDR support at whenever their September event is held.
The 12th.
Well, thanks for freaking blowing that right away. Yeah, so it's, who...
You were creating suspense?
You know I tell things like a mystery story. Yeah, so... According to Mac Forever, they believe that there will be an iPhone event held September 12th.
Because they're the bastion of knowing things.
Well, they've gotten things right one other time, I believe.
I think you can look at past dates and
you can make you can throw a dart,
make an informed decision on when it might be.
So there's
like
that.
Getting back to the 4K Apple TV.
Yeah. I mean, 4K Apple TV. We'll have an updated. What is it? An A something processor. It's going to be updated. That's for sure. Do we know?
An A something.
You know.
I don't even know. I honestly couldn't even tell you right now what the current one has. Does the current one have like an A8?
See, now we're going to get people upset with us. They're going to send us angry emails saying why?
Because I'm supposed to know this stuff off the top of my head.
Yes.
No, folks. Here's the dirty little secret. I own a copy of Mac Tracker.
Me too. Yeah, that's what I'm getting up into right now. So it's
I did donate for it. I know it's free. So when I say own, yeah, I kick some money to the developer. The guy's awesome.
Yeah. So it'll probably be an A9 processor. Because the current one is A8.
See, I got it right even.
Now the idea here is obviously you need the better processor for 4K content.
Wouldn't that be more on the GPU side, though?
Sure, but it's a system on a chip, right?
Oh, yeah.
The interesting
thing... It's still the GPU cores, though.
Right, yeah. I think it's going to be a GPU-driven ability.
Power, whatever the next A9 Power VR series is.
And right.
The question is even the A9 have the right embedded GPU to do it? And I just don't know that much about GPUs and what's required.
That's an
especially
interesting question.
In the ARM embedded processor space.
Right. So the A8 has the PowerVR GX6450.
Yeah, the 6XT.
Right. And I'd have to look for a moment.
You're just throwing out numbers at this point, because I don't know. Again, I don't know what the
right.
What would be required to do 4K?
Yeah. Well, the other side of this is the HDR, right? So we're also expecting HDR to come with, at the very least, with the new Apple TV, if not with the new software update.
Well, now, and I have to admit, I'm so dumb about 4K, I don't even know. Because these two things are thrown out... It feels like they're thrown out almost like they're interchangeable, but I'm pretty sure in conversations I had with people who know this stuff, those are kind of independent things. Like, I think you can have HDR and not 4K.
Yeah,
4K
absolutely.
And not HDR. And
yeah, definitely. Yeah. So it kind of remains to be seen whether we'll just get that as part of a software update. However, in the latest tvOS beta, tvOS beta 7, there are resources that it does appear there are resources for HDR assets,
right,
linked to J105A, which is the code name for the next generation Apple TV. There does not seem to be assets for the current generation. So that kind of leads me to think that it'll just be limited to the new one, which, you know, makes a lot of sense.
This is this is based on the leaks, the leak information from Rambo, right?
Yes.
From Guillerme.
Yep. Yeah, he was poking through the latest beta, which I think is a pretty solid place to get information.
I want to know when the Trotton Smith Rambo cage match is.
Yeah, that one's going to be interesting because one is undefeated. Trotton Smith, right?
Right. But now Guillermo's coming in trying to steal his thunder.
He thinks he can do it. But, okay. So what do we got? We got the 7th beta of iOS 11 as well, which really doesn't have a whole lot of interesting stuff in it, I believe. Just some tweaks here and there. We're getting close, right?
I don't know if this is a new thing, but I gave this tip on the latest MacCast because a listener gave it to me. And I know I've complained both here and on my show about the split screen, like how you have to activate split screen in iOS 11, which I feel is like a bit cumbersome.
It's different.
It's
definitely different.
And one of my complaints was not being able to, like, that in order to split screen an app, right? So I have the app open that I want to do a split screen with. Now I have the second app that I want to use. It feels like the only way to do it is I swipe up from the bottom, which brings up the dock, right? And then I just have whatever apps are in the dock to split screen with. And if the app that I want to split screen with is not in the dock, I have to go to the springboard, launch the app so that it is in the dock, and then I can do the whole split screen thing, right?
Yeah.
Turns out that's not the case.
Yeah, you flip up, you flick up the dock.
There's actually a way to split screen an app. And I don't know if this was in the latest update or if this was always there. So, but a listener pointed out to me that what you can do is you can have the app open that you want to split screen with, and then even if it's not in the dock, what you do is you double tap the home button or do the whole swipe up from the bottom dock and keep going thing so that you get into, no, you need to get to the springboard. So you just tap the home button to bring up the springboard, okay? Find the app that you want to do the split screen with and he called it quick hold it, which I think is the best way to describe it, but like tap on it and start to drag it. And it'll let you drag the icon. And then what you can do is activate the switcher either with a double tap of the home button or swipe up from the bottom with your other hand.
Mm.
And then you put that app over the first app that you wanted to split screen with, and it will kind of spring load open. And then you can split screen it. So again, there's a lot of like gesticulation to like make it work, but you can make it work. And so you don't have to do the extra, you know, launch the app step.
That seems complicated.
It's definitely complicated, but the point is it is possible to bring up an app that you don't already have in the dock. So I just wanted to point that out for people.
That's good to know.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to update to iOS 11 when it first comes out. I'm kind of bummed about the fact that a lot of apps that I use are not going to work.
You have a lot of 32-bit apps?
I have several. I have especially games.
So you're still rocking RampChamp?
I do have RampChamp, yeah.
Me too.
Peggle.
I haven't opened it in ages, to be honest. But yeah, I know RamChamp's not going to work. Gonna have to send some emails to the Chalk, right?
Chalk does not care. He has other things to deal with. So this is interesting. So it turns out Safari in iOS 11 gets rid of the stupid Google AMP links when you share them. So you know what I'm talking about? Google AMP?
That's something mobile pages. I should know it more because I'm a web developer.
Accelerated mobile
accelerated,
pages,
yeah. Thank you.
So the idea is you get, it's when you click on a website, a news article, I believe, usually on Google, and you go to it and you got that weird bar at the top and the address is still a Google address. And when you go to share it, it's not Google, or it's not the address that you want.
I don't think I've ever noticed that, but I know Google is really pushing us developers to create accelerated mobile pages. And you're incentivized because your articles will get better Google juice if you do it.
That's terrible. Anyway, so the new Safari will just get rid of it. It'll strip it out. It'll share the original URL, which is great.
Well, that's good, right?
It's great, yeah, because otherwise it's a pain in the butt. I really want to see them make it so Reader works also, because I think Reader does not work with freaking AMP.
Well, I mean, they're making content creators basically make AMP pages, because if you want to have good Google SEO, then you have to, like, at a certain point, you've got to switch over. I don't know what the cutoff date is.
I think that's wrong. It's stupid.
Yeah, well, it's kind of what Google does.
Yeah.
And we all got to play along.
I think they can boss around the internet. They think they're kings of the internet.
They are. They are the internet, if you ask most people.
Mm.
Right?
Like AOL.
Well, I mean, like, it doesn't matter what search engine you use, you Google it, right?
That's true. It won't be that way forever, though.
Google it on Yahoo. Okay, Google it on Bing.
Well, then they're not using Google. Okay, so we mentioned the Apple event potentially in September 12th. We're also, so this is from Mac Forever, as we mentioned. They're predicting the next iPhones will be announced here September 12th, and then the device being launched 10 days later on the 22nd.
Now, when they say launched, they're not meaning, are they meaning pre-orders, or are they meaning actual on sale in the store?
Go on sale. Week and a half
I think
later.
That's insane.
Sure. It does sound insane.
Just based on all the other rumors, it doesn't seem to make sense. I would believe that we get pre-orders on the 22nd and shipping in October if we're lucky.
Well, I mean, they probably have like several iPhones.
Got 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Hmm.
I would be shocked. I mean, Apple hasn't done that in like forever, right?
Well, I think I don't understand what you're.
Apple has not announced an iPhone and then had it in retail stores like a week later in I don't know how many launches.
Okay. Well, I think that.
Am I wrong? I don't think I'm wrong, right? That's not my bad old man memory.
I don't think you're necessarily right. Well, okay, so the last one, I believe we had a pre-order event, you know, that following Friday, right?
Right.
And then I think the next week we had it available. It shipped. So this sounds right.
Huh.
Yeah, I think it's your old man memory. But someone will email us and correct us. One of us will be right. One will be wrong. maybe both of us will be wrong.
I'm just going to Google it while we're talking. And
you mean you're not going to Bing it?
I'm going to Bing it.
I'm going to Bing you. So there has been a post on Weibo, our favorite source for leaks of various things. There's a 3 gigabyte. So the post on Weibo talks about how the next generation iPhone, iPhone 8, will be available in 64, 256, and 512 gig storage capacities.
Mm-hmm.
And they posted a photo of a 64 gigabyte NAND flash from SanDisk, which is a little weird because they typically come from other suppliers.
Yeah,
like Samsung, Toshiba. And Toshiba, yeah.
Inex.
Mm-hmm. It's also predicted that that SanDisk will also supply a little bit of the 256 gig. The iPhone 8 will also come in a 3 gigabyte RAM capacity. iPhone 7S Plus will still be at 3 gig, and the iPhone 7S will stick to 2 gig. And that'll be one of those things that they don't talk about.
Sure. Okay, so it was partially my old man memory, but not really, because I was getting it was a question of semantics on the date thing. So the iPhone 7 pre-ordered on September 9th and shipped on September 16th, but wasn't available in retail stores until October 8th.
Okay.
So it's kind of both. So I was saying I didn't think it was going to be in retail stores on the 22nd. That's kind of what I was asking about.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's see. New York Times. They believe the iPhone 8 will be premium model priced at around $999 for the entry model, the 64 gig model.
That is super expensive.
It's pretty expensive. But they say, hey, you know what? It's going to have Face ID, induction charging, the smaller form factor, the big old screen, OLED.
Yeah. I mean, we're gonna pay it, but I mean, the fact that the starting price is $999, which is $30 more than the top of line iPhone 7 Plus right now, which means that if you want to get the 512, you're looking at $1,200 for a phone.
Yeah,
and that's as much as a new MacBook.
Well, it's a sweet phone.
What's funny about it to me is, remember how people were freaking out when the original unsubsidized iPhone was $600? And what was that? Was that 2006?
I thought it was $800. Maybe that was for the bigger capacity.
Okay, yeah. $800.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's maybe still, right. But. And here we are now. It has not gone down. It's gone up. It's $1,200 now if you want it, or $999.
Yeah.
Crazy. I don't know. Again, I'm an iPhone fan. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to pay it. But I'm still going to go on record as saying the thought of paying $1,200 for a smartphone is insane. We shouldn't be doing it. But we will. We'll be happy about it. I buy all my phones outright, so.
Yeah, the 8 gig was $600.
Crazy.
Yeah. That is expensive. We have a lot more to talk about. We got some part leaks and stuff, but first we have to talk about our sponsor, which is BarkBox at BarkBox.com/Tyos. Every month, BarkBox paw picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs, including allergies and heavy chewer preferences. All edibles are made in the USA or Canada, and 100% of their products are tested on animals their own. And BarkBox is a great way to try a variety of treats and toys from local and small businesses that you may not otherwise be able to find. Each monthly box is themed, such as Country Fair, Bark Ball, Jurassic Bark, Brooklyn Hipster. There are new and unique toys that continue to keep dogs engaged, interested, and happy. And best of all, if your dog does not like something in the box, they'll send you something they'll love for free because they're all about dog happiness. Free shipping on any BarkBox within the continental U.S. When your dog falls in love with something from the box, you can easily find it again on BarkShop.com, their app, or by texting them. How it works, you choose your dog size, you tell them how big your dog's bark is, small and cute, which is 0 to 20 pounds, just right, 20 to 25, or big and bold, which is 50 plus pounds. You choose a plan. 1, 6, or 12 month plans are available. You can cancel anytime, and there's free shipping. The bark boxes are shipped on the 15th of each month, so get excited when that comes around. And I know that Adam's dog went nuts for the Churassic bark box that he got, and we're sure that your dog will too. For a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/TIOSS when you subscribe for a 6 or 12 month plan. We thank BarkBox so much for their support of the iOS show. All right, so with that, Bloomberg
again with the Bloombergs.
Bloomberg's got some stuff.
Yep.
They describe the, they're calling Face ID. They're calling it Apple's crown jewel with the next iPhone. They say that it will unlock the device in a few hundred milliseconds. It will support Apple Pay and unlock the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where we are, folks.
Yep.
I don't think Touch ID is on this phone.
No. Not at all. Despite the weird videos out of China showing someone supposedly testing Touch ID built into the Apple logo on it.
That was weird.
Yeah. I honestly think it was a screen like calibration or some sort of screen QA check, and he was just like making sure it was held down like to the sensor like firmly.
Yeah.
That's my guess. It's like they're like, okay, you just need to put your finger here to make sure that it doesn't, you know, like it's doing display calibration. Because it had a metal back and stuff too. It was weird. It obviously wasn't an iPhone 8 design anyway, but true. The internets were freaking out over that. And by the way, why Bloomberg is the big source now is that's because that's where Gurman landed. Mark Gurman.
Who is Mark Gurman?
He was the guy that would always leak stuff for 9 to 5, Mac.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like
people are wondering why suddenly all these like rumors and leaks are coming out of Bloomberg.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like Apple has perfected this thing.
Again, they're going to really have to sell me on this as being better than Touch ID.
Well, if it works just as well, if not better, then who cares, right?
I still kind of don't like the idea that someone could grab my phone, aim it at my face, and run away with it, and it'd be unlocked.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they have a feature for that. Maybe like they know like once immediately it's out of range of your face, it locks.
Possibly. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, why not? The only weird thing there would be that would assume then it's like constantly scanning your face.
Well, then you couldn't hand it off.
How that impacts battery life.
Couldn't hand it off to a friend either.
Yeah, that's true.
But they think that it's secure enough that it will work for Apple Pay.
I really hope we get the embedded Touch ID in the display. And this is just an additive thing. I like Touch ID, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do. I think it's a great technology and I have no issues with it. And I don't see any reason to take it away other than aesthetics, which is totally something Apple would do. So
yeah,
it's probably happening.
Yeah, that's kind of how they make their decisions, isn't it?
Buttons look dumb. All right, get rid of them.
They are dumb. Buttons are stupid. Let's see here. We got some component leaks. So again, this is posted on Weibo, our favorite website. And it looks like we've got, what do we have? An OLED display assembly.
With the notch.
With the notch, yes.
The sensor bar area. Yeah,
it's depicted backwards in this, but it looks like the stereo cameras are going to be right next to each other, not on either side of the earpiece.
The ear hole.
That is interesting. also some components for the lightning connector and PowerFlex cables.
PowerFlex,
yeah. Makes sense. If it's coming in next month.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of parts. We also saw leaked parts for the camera sensor array, the infrared sensors.
Yeah, I have that too. This is interesting to me. So Ming-Chi Kuo posted this. He calls the new camera revolutionary, and that it consists of three modules, a standard front-facing camera module, an infrared transmitting module, mm-hmm. and an infrared receiving module, all of which will allow the iPhone 8 to perform 3D sensing and modeling functions. Mm-hmm. So this is interesting to me. So I get the infrared transmission, sure. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they say it's going to consist of three modules, this may be like lost in translation or lack of understanding or something like that. But the front facing camera module, which implies, RGB light.
Right.
But then there's an infrared receiving module, which is infrared.
Right.
So am I to believe that this is a hybrid camera that can capture both RGB visible light as well as infrared light?
Or assume so?
We're expecting this 3D depth perception using stereo cameras, a stereo pair of cameras. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the description of the infrared light is so that it will work in low light, right? So is he saying there's a separate infrared camera that will fall back? It'll fall back to the infrared?
No, I believe it's a separate, if it's a totally separate layer and a separate system. And I thought the infrared light was that was the whole infrared laser thing too. There was going to be like a laser emitter and a laser that worked in infrared. And my assumption is that would bounce off surfaces and then be captured by the infrared receiver.
I don't think you want a laser. I understand the infrared light. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that the way that cameras are designed, that photo sensors are designed, they have a Bayer pattern on them with, that filter out all but, RGB. And that means infrared doesn't get through. So if you want an infrared camera, you have to have an infrared filter. And it's
your iPhone camera right now will see infrared.
Are you sure of that?
Sure. Bring up the camera and point your remote, your like IR remote at it, and press the button. You'll see the light in the camera preview.
I see that light with my eyes.
That's not infrared light.
It's not infrared light. I know how.
Get a remote that's a true IR. Like get an IR LED and hook it up to a coin cell battery and put it in front of your iPhone lens, and you'll see that it doesn't filter out the infrared light. I know this because I played around with it because I was working on a project to with IR lights, and I needed to verify that the IR LED was lighting up, and I could use my iPhone camera or the camera in your Mac will see it too.
I'd have to look into that just because based on my understanding of how CMOS, visible light CMOS sensors work. They filter out. That's how they have to work. They have an RGBG pattern. that filter out all but those.
Again, I don't know about the sensor, but the camera itself, which is displaying a live preview, and I'm assuming it's, I don't know if it comes through the sensor or not. I guess maybe it has to.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I think what you're, I think what you're, I think it, what will the, you can see, all I know is you can see an infrared LED on an iPhone camera, and some other web cameras and stuff will not see that.
I think that the issue is these LEDs are emitting a broader spectrum than just infrared.
It's the wavelength is 850 or 940, I want to say.
But what I'm saying is I think they're low quality LEDs that broadcast a little bit of red.
No.
Okay. We'll look into it.
Okay.
I mean, that's why you have space telescopes that only look in infrared, right?
Well, and I mean, regardless, that does mean that the new iPhone is going to have, I think, separate sensors and maybe a separate CMOS that does just capture the IR.
Well, it's also possible that they have a hybrid sensor in there.
True.
And that is a real thing. That would be pretty incredible, but it's been out there for a while. So I guess that's the point that I was trying to make, is that I think they have something that's pretty
well. The leaked unit incredible. Looked like it had a separate. So there was like the camera lens module, which I would assume has its own CMOS in it. Right. And then the image that I saw looked like right next to it, it had what looked like, because it didn't look like it had a lens in front of it. It looked like it was just the CMOS sensor.
You're talking about the photo with the lens and the CMOS sensor?
Yeah. Weren't they side by side?
I think that the lens has just kind of been flipped off the top of the CMOS sensor. Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing this phone. I think it's going to be just jam packed with new tech.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing about Ming-Chi Kuo's comments was he thinks that Apple's like 3D sensing technology is like years ahead of the competition at this point, which I found interesting. Like he thinks that like Android phone makers, if they want to use this technology, they're going to be scrambling to catch up because they rely on Qualcomm for the tech, and Qualcomm is years behind Apple. And the reason cited in his report as to why they were behind was that they're not entirely convinced like the 3D stuff is going to be something consumers like want, and so they're waiting to see what happens with Apple. And I think they're going to be caught way off guard. And the example he gave was funny, because he said they did the same thing with like 3D touch, which 3D touch hasn't, I don't think, is really taken off. Like other manufacturers aren't copying that.
Yeah.
But I think the big difference is that 3D touch is like really kind of a hidden UI thing. And it's really kind of, in my mind, more of a power user thing. But I think the applications for the 3D depth sensing technology and stuff like that are going to be much more broad consumer wise. And I think there's going to be a lot of things leveraging it. I mean, even silly stuff like, oh, you can hold your phone up to your face and create your own 3D avatar in your video game. Like people are going to freak over something like that.
Yeah.
And I think they're underestimating us. I think Ming-Chi Kuo's way, like they're going to be caught way off guard, and it's going to take them 2 or 3 years to catch up. Not that they can't catch up, and we've seen it where Apple's introduced a technology and other companies have caught up and maybe even surpassed Apple in a few years, but they definitely have a lead at this point. Or will have a lead, or that's the presumption, I guess. We'll find out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. Since that's all I have, is there anything else that we wanted to mention?
No.
Okay. Well, then.
Not iOS related. There's other Mac things, but I think we're good.
Okay.
And
so,
I got a text from Jeff. He's all right.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, he's all right. So that's
good. He was just coming back and got delayed, was out of cell range. So, yay.
Yep. Okay. So, with that, we'll do picks, but.
You say picks with a question mark.
Picks? Yeah, it's a question mark because it's not going to be a pick for me anyway.
You don't have a pick?
I have a tip.
You have a tip.
And it's not for the iOS. It's for macOS. And I really
Going totally off. You're going totally rogue today.
It's my show. I can do whatever I want.
I don't know that I have a pick either.
Oh, well, you better come up with a tip then.
I already gave a tip. For iOS 11, only a handful of full of us can use it at this point. But
so my tip is in macOS, you know how I think it was before Sierra, we were given the ability to resize our windows from any corner or edge.
Yeah.
So if you go up to one of those edges where you get the little arrows to resize and you double click, like the top, for example, it will go all the way up to the very top of your screen. It will resize that way to the maximum. And if you do it on the corner, it will resize to the maximum from that corner. And the best part is if you hold option, it will do both sides at the same time.
Hmm. What's this called?
It's called I gave you a tip.
Wait, so say that again. What am I doing?
So you've got a window open on your Mac. It's sure. not maximized or anything like that, right? It's a window right. that's just bouncing around. So put your cursor at the edge of the window, maybe at the bottom edge, and you double tap.
So you get the little double arrow.
Double tap or double click, and it will expand all the way to the bottom.
Well, look at that.
Yeah. Do it at the top. Same deal. Hold option. It will do both sides at the same time.
Who taught you that?
I figured it out. Accidentally.
Huh.
Yep.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Apparently no one until just now.
There's actually a giant, like, I don't want to say support article, but an article on Apple's website that describes how to do that. So.
Thanks, Apple, for not telling anyone, except telling everyone, but not making it publicly known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, oh, no, because that's iOS. I was going to say, I wonder if it's in the tips app that no one uses.
Oh, yeah, that'd be funny.
Maybe that should be my pick. The Apple Tips app. No, that's not it.
Yep. Okay, so what's your pick or tip?
You know, I'm going to pick something I've been using more frequently, and I think it's because I have some friends who are pretty heavy in the gaming community. But I also know a lot of podcasters and people who are doing stuff with, like, Patreon. And, like, I have a MacCast channel on Slack for my MacCast members. It's kind of a premium member benefit, and it's, like, just a back channel thing. Well, mm-hmm. there's another service out there called Discord.
You talked about that last week.
Was this my pick last week?
Yeah.
Oh, crud. Well, then I got nothing. That's what I've been using, Discord.
All right.
Everything else I've already picked. I'm like looking through my iPad going, picked it, picked it, picked it.
That's all right. I forgive you.
Sorry, I came unprepared today.
That's fine. All right. So with that, you can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. You can review the show in iTunes, give it some stars, tell a friend. You can send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com. And at MacCast on Twitter. Jeff Gamet is alive, and he'll probably be back next week. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet community.
This. The stylus.
We don't want to carry around
So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?